Good morning. It's nice to have another opportunity to bring a lesson this morning. Thought we would discuss the example that we have in Abraham. We all might remember what it tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, where it says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We have a lot that's given to us about Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, we're told that he is the father of those that walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet circumcised. Romans 4 and verse 12. For those that are following that example of faith that Abraham has set, it calls him our spiritual father in a sense that he is the father of those who are faithful. And we want to look at the account of the Scriptures this morning of the life of Abraham, his calling, his sojourning, and his fulfillment of what God gave him to do. And we want to learn how we also can walk in those steps of faith of our father Abraham, as it says in Romans 4 and verse 12. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 now, and let's read what the New Testament teaches us here concerning Abraham and his great example of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8 here, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." So we see quite a bit here that is taught concerning Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and the things that they did, and the view that they had as they went through this life. And we want to look at that example this morning and see the parallels and see the things that we can learn from Abraham's example so that we can walk in those same steps of faith. In Genesis chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 5 here, where we see the Lord giving Abraham the command to do some of these things. Genesis 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. So here we see that the Lord gave Abraham, at this point he was known as Abram, a command to get out of his country and from his kindred and his father's house to a land that he would show him. So it wasn't a place that Abram had been before, but it was a place that the Lord said, I'll show you this land, but you need to leave your country to do this. You know, we might pause for a minute and think about what if we were asked to leave our country, to just up and leave, to leave our families, to leave everything that we've known. Here, Abram, it says, was 75 when he did this. So here he had been in this country for 75 years, which is a lot longer than many of us have been alive. And he had been in that country, and all of a sudden, the Lord gave him a command to up and to leave that country to a place that he hadn't been before. And we might think about that for a minute and ask ourselves, well, how easy would it be for us to do such a thing? And as we'll see, well, really, we are given a very similar commandment today. There's a different sense in which we fulfill it, but we're being asked as Christians to do very much the same thing. And so we need to learn from Abraham's response how we also can have a similar response of faith. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9, we'll see here how the Lord says we also are called to do something that is similar. Here it says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So just as the Lord had called Abram out of his country to go into this land of Canaan, we also, as Christians, or it says here, are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And of course, that darkness is this world. He's calling us to come out from this world and to not be a part of this world and to be what he describes as a peculiar people, a strange people compared to the rest of the world. So we are being called by the Lord to leave this world in a certain sense. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, he says here, wherefore come out from among them, and he's talking about the unbelievers in this world. He's telling us, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So yes, we are to come out from among the unfaithful of this world. You know, just as that land of Haran was Abram's home for many, many years, we all were part of this world for many years and followed the ways of this world for a certain number of years. But now we see the gospel telling us that we need to come out from the world. We need to be separate from the world and not be a part of this world. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so there are some things that we all need to leave behind, just as Abraham left some things behind. In James chapter 4, he tells us what our relationship is with God if we are part of this world. He says here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do we want to be God's enemy? Certainly we all know that we don't. Well, what does that mean? Well, he says here, if we're going to be a friend of the world, we're God's enemy. So if we want to be on the Lord's side here, we're going to need to turn away from the world and not be friends with this world, to not be a part of the world and the things that the world does. In 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16, he tells us here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We're not to love this world. We're not to love the things of this world as we see so many doing. We need to have the attitude that the Apostle Paul had when he wrote Galatians 6 and verse 14. Here he says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul considered himself to be crucified to the world. He was no longer part of that world. It was dead to him. It was something that he did not have a part of. And he had come out from the world to follow the Lord and to do the things that the Lord had shown him to do. And that needs to describe us as well. James 1 and verse 27 points out another one of our goals here as Christians in not being a part of this world. James 1 and verse 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Lord wants us to not be spotted, not to be tainted by these things in this world, the wickedness that is here. He wants us to be separate so that that will not be happen. We might be reminded of what we read earlier in Hebrews 11 and verse 15, that mind that Abram and Sarah had as they left that country to go into the land of Canaan that the Lord was going to show them. There in verse 15 we read, it says, "And truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." You know, when Abraham left that nation, he had no intentions of going back, did he? The Lord said, get up and leave that country to a land that I'm going to show you. And so it points out here, if they had been mindful of that country that they came out from, well, they weren't mindful of it, were they? They weren't looking back and thinking about all the things that they were used to and how they wished they could go back and visit and do those kinds of things. It says here if that's what they wanted to do, they might have been able to do that, but that wasn't their mind, was it? And so for us, that needs to be our mind as well, that we're not looking back into the things of this world, but that as Christians, our focus is on Christ and on Him as the forerunner that is leading the way to the Father, and that we're not turning back and considering the things that we have left in this world. And that was the mind that Abram had, and that needs to be the mind that we have. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, here it says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, we've decided to put on Christ, and when we do that, we need to be looking ahead at Him, and we don't need to be looking back. We need to realize that we've come out from this world, and we're focused now on serving our Lord and Master. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, and you might as well put a marker there, by the way, because we'll be coming back to this several times this morning. But Hebrews 11, verse 9 that we read earlier, notice here it says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." And then in verse 13 it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." That was their mindset as they were here on this earth, is that they considered themselves to be strangers here. And as they traveled through this land that the Lord had told them to do, to go into, it says they dwelt in tabernacles. That's literally tents. They lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob. And they were considering themselves to be strangers and pilgrims as they were traveling through that land. Well, that needs to be our mindset as well with this world, that this world is not our home. This is not where we see as our place to be here, but that we're looking forward to that heavenly home that the Lord has waiting for us, and that we consider ourselves to be strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. He uses that language in several places. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, here he tells us, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So here, as he's writing to Christians, and he's saying, I'm beseeching you as strangers and pilgrims. We need to have that same mind that Abraham had about this world, that this is not where we belong, and this is not where we intend to stay. That this is a temporary place through which we are passing on to a different place. And so, as he says in verse 12, we need to have our conversation honest. We need to be having the right behavior and living in the right way according to the Lord here, as it tells us in verse 12, and that we are walking in the good ways which we find from the Lord's work. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we could see what the Lord, he had this same thing in mind for his children at that time as well, where he wanted them to be separate from the ways of this world. And we see some specific things that the Lord told them to not partake of in this world in order to avoid being blemished and spotted by the world. Deuteronomy 7, we'll read verses 1 through 6 here. Here he says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the earth. So here we see that the Lord told them, when they were going to come into the land of Canaan to take that land, that they were to utterly destroy the wicked people that lived there, that they were not to make covenants with these people there in verse 2. They were not to make marriages between their sons and daughters with their sons and daughters. That they were to be separate and not influenced by these people from the land of Canaan. And he said what the consequences would be if they didn't do this. In verse 4, he says, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. And we see that happen all of the time about us, don't we, with this world. We see those that are drawn away by the things of this world. They're attracted by different things of this world. And it pulls them away from serving the Lord and having their focus and their attention on the things that the Lord wants us to be focused on in this life. And so we can understand then why it is that the Lord wants us to come out from the world and to be separate, to not be tied in with the things of this world, and to be thinking of it as a strange place that is not our home. Back to Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 10 earlier what they were looking for here. In verse 10 he says, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we need to be doing exactly the same thing as Abraham here, don't we? We need to be looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And of course, we know that's not a physical city. God is a spirit. We know that he has an eternal spiritual home prepared for those that love him and who serve him. And so just as Abraham and his family were looking for that city that God has made, that needs to be our attitude as well, that we have our eyes, our spiritual eyes, fixed on that place and not on this world. If we continue to read on in verse 11, it says, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable." And it goes on in verse 14, and again points out, "They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." But of course we know this wasn't a physical country that they were seeking. Verse 15 makes that plain. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." He has prepared for them a city, and he's prepared for us a city as well. And we need to have our focus on that place and not this world. We need to be pressing on, just as Abraham did, with that hope in mind that we will be there with our Lord one day. Hebrews chapter 13, we also see another place that points out that idea that we do not have a home here on this life. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 12, it says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." So again, we see the reference to where we are not seeking a physical city here, but we're seeking one to come. This is not our home. Romans chapter 8 reminds us about that hope that we all need to continue to remind ourselves of. Romans 8, beginning at verse 24, it says here, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So yes, we are hoping for this spiritual city one day where we will be with our God. And so as it points out here, we don't see this now, but what we need to do is what Abraham did, is that we need to wait for it with patience. That's one of the qualities that we see in Abraham, is the patience that he had in carrying out the things that the Lord asked him to do. And we need to have that same patience as well. In Colossians 3, in verse 1, he says here, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection," and that's literally to exercise your mind, "on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So here we see several of the things that we've already talked about coming together in these two verses. But number one, he says we need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. And we need to be exercising our mind on those things above. That's what needs to be in our thoughts, not all of these things that are out there to attract us in this world. He specifically says that in verse 2, "not on the things of this earth." Yes, they draw these things of this earth draw many people away, but that doesn't need to be what we're focused on. We need to be thinking on those things above. In verse 3, as we read earlier there in Galatians about Paul, where he says, "The world is crucified to me and I to the world." Here in verse 3, "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." We need to consider ourselves dead to this world, that we're not a part of the world and the ways of the world and the things of the world, but that we're setting our desires on the heavenly things. We also need to be reminded that there will be trials, just like there were for Abraham. In Genesis 22, we'll see and remind ourselves about the test that God provided to Abraham concerning Isaac. Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now we know the rest of this story, how that Abraham did exactly what the Lord commanded him to do here. The Lord says, take your son Isaac. Now we remember that the Lord had given Abraham a promise that through his seed all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so here was Abraham's only son, and now the Lord is telling him to kill that only son that he had. Many might say, well, how is God going to fulfill that promise that he had made? If I'm going to now kill the only pathway to fulfilling that. And so we read earlier there in Hebrews where Abraham's mind was, well, I'm going to do what the Lord says. And if the Lord needs to raise Isaac from the dead, then that's what he'll do. But regardless, Abraham's mind was to do exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. And so here was a test for Abraham to see if he was going to truly obey the Lord or not. And we know that we're going to face tests as well. Just as Abraham was tested, our faith is going to be tested many times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's see what he teaches us here. It says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You know, when Paul originally went into Thessalonica to preach the gospel to the Jews that were there, there were those who received those words and who believed. But there were also many that did not receive those words and who immediately turned and persecuted the ones that were converted. And Paul was literally only in Thessalonica for about 3 weeks before he had to flee for his life to the next place. But meanwhile, there were those in Thessalonica that were facing persecution. And so that's the context here of him writing this to those Thessalonians, is that pointing out we are appointed to suffer those things. We will be tested. And of course, that's a whole other set of lessons on that subject to understand, well, why. Why are these tests going to be given? But we understand that we grow through these trials and these tests. And that, yes, we are appointed to these things, as it says in verse 3 here. In Acts chapter 14, we'll read verses 21 and 22 here. It says, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So Paul was literally persecuted in every one of these cities here, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. They left him for dead there after stoning him. But what did Paul do after he initially left those cities? He turned right back around and went into those cities, doing what in verse 22? Confirming the souls of the disciples and reminding them that through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of heaven. So Paul was tested, and these ones in these cities of Lystra and Iconium and Antioch were also tested. We will be tested as well, and we need to be ready for that. And we also need to be encouraged, knowing that we have those that have gone before us, like Abraham and these others that had their eyes set on the goal and were able to overcome and patiently endure. In James chapter 1, we're reminded of one of the things that we grow in as our faith is tested. James 1, beginning in verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So sometimes we ask the question, why? Why is this happening? Why am I having these difficulties? We need to remind ourselves of those that have gone on before and that have also faced difficulties and what it's teaching us here, that the trying of our faith works patience. We grow through these trials that we face. And as it says in verse 4, as we grow in patience and let that patience continue to have its work, he says we will get to the point where we're perfect, where we're complete as well. He says perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. So we do grow from these different trials that we have, these tests of our faith, and we need to be encouraged by that. We need to realize, well, again, this is a temporary place that we're in now and that we're all looking forward to that heavenly home, and that these things that are happening to us now are part of what's making us grow to have the heart and the mind of Christ. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." That's something that sounds pretty hard to do at first, doesn't it? He says, rejoice when we suffer for the name of Christ. But we see that exact thing if we go back and we study the scriptures and we look at some of the things that happened to the apostles and to the others where they were beaten before the councils for teaching about Christ. What was their attitude when they were done? They were rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. That is a mind that we all have to work on, to be willing to rejoice in these sufferings. But again, it's all part of these tests that are going to come upon us. And so he says in verse 12, to not think it strange concerning these trials that are going to test us. We need to realize they're going to come, and when they do come, we can recognize, well, the Lord told me this was going to come, and we need to work on having that right attitude here of being obedient to the Lord through all of these tests and having this mind that says this is something that's going to make me grow here, and that we do the right thing throughout that test. If we go back and review just a couple of other places in that Hebrews chapter 11 passage that we started with earlier this morning, we see that Abraham had an obedient faith. In verse 8 there, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, he obeyed. So when the Lord told him to leave the country of Haran and go into the land of Canaan, what did he do? He obeyed out of that faith. He was persuaded. Remember, that word faith is to be persuaded of something. And so when the Lord made those promises to Abraham and he was persuaded of those promises, he took action on what he was persuaded of. And he obeyed and went and did what the Lord told him to do, regardless of the fact that he was having to leave his home and all of these other things that he had known for so long. Verse 9, it says, "By faith he sojourned." Okay, so again, we see some action taking place as a result of Abraham being persuaded of the things that he had been told. Further down in verse 13, speaking of Abraham as well as these others in this chapter, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." These ones that are mentioned here in Hebrews 11, they all had the same attitude that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and it affected their entire lifestyle, their lives as they lived here on this earth. And it was all a result of their being persuaded of the things that the Lord had told them. And so we also, like Abraham and like these others of faith, we need to see these promises that the Lord has given us in His Word, and we need to be fully persuaded of these promises and fully persuaded of what the Lord has shown us, and then be ready to go out and to do these things. Again, in verse 17, it says, "By faith," what did Abraham do? It says, "By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And so again, we see an example of obedience from Abraham to do what the Lord had commanded him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 and see how the Lord wants us to see Abraham as an example for us. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." So what does it say here concerning Abraham's faith? It says he was strong in the faith. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And that needs to be our attitude toward the Scriptures as well, that when we see what God has promised us and see the path that he's shown us of the way that we need to live and the things that we need to do in this life, we need to be fully persuaded of those things and of those great promises that he has given, and then be like Abraham, where we're obedient to do these things. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." He says here, the just shall live by faith. That's how we need to live. Every part of our lives needs to be by faith, by the things that we're persuaded of in God's Word, and that we're not going to be drawn back into perdition or destruction, but that we're going to believe these promises and do these things that the Lord has shown us. And as he says there in verse 39, that we believe to the saving of the soul. These things that we find in God's words are eternal, of eternal importance, and they have to do with the saving of our souls. These are not light things that we're talking about here in God's Word. These are words that we need to pay attention to and that we need to truly believe and be persuaded of, and then take the actions that are necessary in our own lives to be obedient as Abraham was. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, the Lord here talks about what is important in the kingdom of God. Here he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." So notice what he says, and that word there, avails, is literally to have force. What is it that has any force in the kingdom of God, in Christ? What is it that has force? Well, he says it's faith that works by love. These are three important things that all tie together here. And we see all of those things coming together in this example of Abraham, where Abraham had a faith and was fully persuaded of God's promises, and then he proceeded to work or to do the things that he did because of his faith and his love for God. And that needs to describe us as well, that we have faith which works by love. Let's conclude this morning in Hebrews chapter 6. We'll read verses 10 through 15 here and remind ourselves of Abraham's endurance and how we need to have that same endurance as well. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. There in verse 12, he tells us all that we need to be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit those promises. We are given exceeding great and precious promises in God's Word. We need to be fully persuaded of those promises like Abraham was, and we need to be followers of Abraham and walk in those same steps of faith that he had, and that we have those steps of walk in steps of faith and have that patience to endure until the end. As it says in verse 15, after he had patiently endured, he obtained promise. And so we all need to be having our eyes set on that heavenly goal that is before us, and that we need to be fully persuaded of these promises that God has given us, and we need to be living the lives that God intends for us to live in order to be with Him. So if there are those here this morning that have not yet put on Christ, who have not yet begun to follow Jesus in that way that He shows to the Father to have eternal life, we want you to consider that this morning, to consider that life that Jesus came here to live, to show us an example to follow, to show us the faith that we need to have, the persuasion that we need to have to fully live for our God and our Creator. And He's given us many, many examples in the Scriptures. We've looked at just one this morning with Abraham. But Abraham is a very important example that we have. And he is the father of the faithful. And the Lord has made him as that specific example for us to follow. And so, if you're subject to His invitation this morning to put on Christ in baptism, to crucify that old man, to repent, to have that new mind that says, I'm going to now live the rest of my life here for Him, to serve Him and to do His will and not my own, just as Abraham did, then we want you to make that known as we all stand together and sing this morning.